Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for listening to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. The show tonight is going to be part 2 of the past life regression therapy experience that I recently underwent with a very credible therapist in Minneapolis. I have a lot more to say about that. Part 1, you can find that on my Podomatic website, and I'll give that information to you in just a moment. I would listen to that whole show in its entirety first before tackling this one. However, I will try to fill you in as we go along on this show so that way you don't feel like you're a little lost when it comes to what I'm talking about. And so I'll do my best to try to connect both of these shows together. Some of you may want to have a pencil and a piece of paper to write down a few things in the event that you want to have a past life regression done on yourself. I think that you're going to find that the information I provide not only to you from therapists, others who have had it done, and myself will be very beneficial and give you something to really think about. So tonight's going to be dedicated strictly to the finishing up of part one on past life regression. Before we get to that point, let me just get some housekeeping out of the way as usual, and then we'll get to it. Let's see. If you're interested in purchasing any of my books, you can go to Amazon, just punch in my name, either Dr. Kelly Schutz or Kelly Schutz, Paranormal Encounters, and that should bring you to at least a few of them. The one that I would recommend that you buy, though, is Manifestations, because that book has four of those books contained in that book, and that's the best deal that I would recommend. People are asking me if I'm going to be doing book number 9. I will think about it. Maybe sometime this year I will think about writing book number 9. I certainly have plenty to talk about and plenty experiences to share. Many of us in the field who are very interested in this field are trying to chase after the answer of what exactly is going on. How can this be, you know, how is this happening? Why can't I see some of these apparitions? Why do I feel them? Why am I being put into a trance? Why? Everything's why this and why that. So we try to chase after the explanation. And sometimes there just simply is not one because we really can't put our finger on it yet. People are trying. I will tell you that. You'll see that the field is just saturated with different theories and different thoughts on it. And I think that's the part right there, the education part that's most beneficial, is to hear about varying ideas and differences about it. Because I can honestly say that right now there's not really one person who can absolutely figure it out. But we're getting close, I can tell you that. And as I get more involved in this field and have had so many different types of experiences myself, of course I keep asking questions. So, you know, as always, to be determined. Right now we're trending, or we're in a fad of a couple topic areas here that are really being pushed out there. One of them, of course, is the UFO phenomenon and theories surrounding aliens. And I have a lot to say on that one myself. Never was interested in it, not until the point where someone kind of put that in front of me as to why I was having some of my own experiences. But I'm trying to get down to the bottom of that myself. Another fad, of course, Bigfoot is always being, you know, searched after. Sasquatches are always being looked at. And, of course, the theory about interdimensionality, which is, you know, we can't see, like, what's happening on the other side of something here, something slipping through it and then slipping back, and that's why we can't seem to see stuff half the time, or where did it go, or where is it hiding? Well, I don't think we can really answer that, but people are theorizing that it's potentially something that slips in and out of our current reality. So, I don't know. To be determined on that. I am this year, or at least this year, my focus is going to be a little bit more on the UFO phenomenon. I'm not going to talk about that entirely on all my shows. whatever comes up and I find to be of maybe useful information or something to think about is what I usually direct my attention to and focus on when I do these shows. So it just all depends. But whatever I go through, I am more than happy to share it with you. I mentioned on my part one show that when I was with this therapist who did this past life regression on me, he gave me 3 people to contact here regarding my own experiences. And one of them, I'm going to give you this link right now. So if you want to write this down, find yourself a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm going to be looking into this situation myself. I don't know what kind of an experience I will have with this situation, but I am going to report it back to you when and if this happens. Because I've been having a lot of, I don't know, what I feel to be some abilities that I cannot explain, and they're strengthening, the therapist recommended to me to go to this person named Kelly Thebeau. It's K-E-L-L-Y, and then the last name is Thebeau, which is T-H-E-B-O. This person apparently had started seeing UFOs at some point in her life, and it was getting stronger, and then realized that there were, it's called the collective wisdom, or that's what she calls this, channeling the collective wisdom. And you can find her on YouTube, or you could find her on her website, and it's Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at Kelly Thebeau, K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-E-B-O.com. And then when you go to this website, there's a couple YouTube videos that you can actually watch about her experience with this collective wisdom, which, by the way, is supposedly UFO aliens, okay, that are speaking to her. I am going to contact her, and I'm going to have a session done with her and her aliens, and I'm going to see what they have to say about a few things here. So that will be coming up in one of my shows at some point once I make contact. But I would go to that website, and I would, it's a very different experience, I'm going to tell you that right now, just to watch her. So, you know, just sit down and try to keep an open mind. The other two individuals this therapist wants me to go to is an astrologer and a psychic medium. Now, keep in mind that I have talked to many psychics over the years. Many, 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 many. Some very good, some almost good, and some really bad. And so, you know, he claims that he himself had like a reading done with these two individuals together, the astrologer and the psychic medium, and that he was amazed at what they picked up. Now, let me caution you a little bit about psychics in general. If your energy connects right with them, they can be very accurate. But not every psychic can read just every individual. Some are just not capable of doing that. Some have gifts and very specific gifts, and others do not have any gifts at all, quite honestly. But those that are very good, that I have gone to, who are very insightful and right on target, they do have a gift. Like this one here does house and space clearings, and I wish I would have had this person over when I had my poltergeist in here bugging me for quite a while. That has since either has just kind of calmed down or it moved on, but I could have used that person in here at the time. Now, keep in mind, too, that space clearings can, you know, make things worse, so you need to deal with professionals on this. The astrologer can do dream interpretation, crystal consultation, some mentoring, parties, astrology readings. So that should be interesting because I would like to see what they both have to say as we move forward. But anyway, that's that on all of that. But the one that I am really focused on right now is this Kelly Thebaugh. Kelly Thebaugh, KELLYTHEBO.com, The Collective Wisdom, talking to aliens who are apparently feeding her information. We shall see. All right. So before we get started here, we're going to take just a short break. And then I'm going to, start again with the past life regression and start delving into this to heighten your awareness and also bring you some knowledge about all of this in the event that you want to have one done yourself. Stay tuned.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, they crawl all over your dirty snout, your chest.
My name is David Walton. I am a vocal performer for What Are You Afraid Of? Horror and Paranormal Show. And I have carried the burden of a terrible secret. I am actually what is offensively called a ghost. For years now, I have concealed my ectoplasmic existence from my friends and family, in fear of a common prejudice against ghosts, or what we like to call the disembodied. I have existed frightened of being discovered, unable to do physical acts that the embodied take for granted, such as walking a squirrel, or drinking a glass of vitamin E milk fresh squeezed from a whale. I grew depressed and even considered acts of self-harm or reincarnation, which is suicide for the disembodied. Such movies as Ghostbusters and its sequels drove my feelings of disenfranchisement, and I began looking for help, only to encounter painful exorcisms in the houses I haunted. Then I met two good people, it says here, Fox and Phil, at What Are You Afraid Of? Horror and Paranormal. And they helped me take control of my own life. Now, it is my choice whether I wish to make phantom bangs in the night, appear at the foot of your bed in darkness, or make your walls bleed. If you are a disembodied person like I am, and you're living a lie, What Are You Afraid Of? Can help you too. They are on at 9 p.m. on Friday nights at Para X Radio, leaving plenty of time for midnight haunting activities, and can be found on all major podcast services. Listen to their paranormal stories, interviews, humorous sketches and horror fiction to know that you are not alone. And if you are a member of the embodied, don't forget, you are only a single heart attack or tumor away from becoming one of us. This is David Walton. See you on the other side. Or as I call it, this side.
And that is the end of a perfect day.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
So let's get into our discussion on part two of the past life regression experience that I underwent within the past week or so. Before I get into that, it just dawned on me that I did not give you the website address to be able to access my Podomatic podcasts. And right now there's about 50, though this one will be number 56 on there. And I have a variety of topics that I discuss, and I have guests, and sometimes I do my own interviews on subjects like this. But how you get to that is as follows. You go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. That's www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. paranormaluniversalpress.com. And when you go into my website, you will see on the right-hand side a tab or a button that has Podomatic by it. Click on that. That will bring you into my Podomatic website. Downloading and listening, of course, it's all free. If you subscribe, every time I put a show on the system, you'll be notified, so that way you don't always have to check back. I usually try to put 1 to 2 on per month if I have the time. And so anyway, that's how you get to it. Click on the title of the segment that you're listening to, and then, of course, then it will start to play. If you need to contact me for any reason or you want to be on the show, please contact me at krschutz1, that's krschutz1 at yahoo.com. And again, I will do my best to answer any questions or provide any feedback that you might be seeking from me. All right, so let's get into our segment this evening, so that way I can engage and enlighten you further in a past life regression moment, plus give you something to think about. I would have that notebook and that pencil and pen in front of you, though, especially if you're thinking about doing one of these yourself. So the best benefit, of course, is to go back to part one, which is segment 55 on Podomatic, and to be able to listen to just the stuff that I say in general, but my experience starts at about minute 40, going to its end, which is, of course, minute 60. And so what I had talked about earlier was that when I went to this therapist, and he's a good therapist, you know, I have been hypnotized before when I was 18 and I had anxiety, and I know how being hypnotized works and feels. But unfortunately, in this particular case, I was probably overly anxious. Plus, I have a very strong left brain, right brain going on all the time, and not always am I able to get myself to a point where I feel I am hypnotized. So I felt like I was half hypnotized with this gentleman, though he tried really hard. And he does this where I could probably go deeper into seeing other lives as well. But I think I'm going to be going to another therapist who does this, because not all therapists are successful with everyone. And I'm going to explain to you in a moment what happened to me, and then you'll understand why I say that. But there's nothing against this therapist. He's good. It's just that I think that I need somebody else to attempt this on me to see if they can actually get me to a very deep hypnotic stage. Okay. And by the way, this Kelly Thebo, who does this collective wisdom, she went to this guy that I went to, and he was very successful with her. And that's how she got down to the discovery that when she was seeing these UFOs and they're trying to make contact with her, and she's now channeling through them and all this, et cetera, et cetera. You know, sometimes people do hit a bingo. And in my case, I'm not quite sure I was ready for it or if I was a good candidate for him. So let's do a brief recap here. So I wanted to try to figure out what's going on with me, my abilities to move objects, see things, predict things, be very psychically inclined has been getting stronger over time. And I'm trying to kind of get down to what is happening. Now, you know, of course, when you age, your brain constantly changes and stuff like that. I have no idea what's going on with me. I've tried to reach out to professionals at some universities. I've tried to reach out to people who do these sort of things, and I don't ever get any response. And they study this stuff, so you would think that they would be all excited to know that there's another person out there who's having these types of experiences. But guess what? You can be a doctor and they don't care. You know, they don't care. Or they don't have time, or they don't have research monies anymore to continue to do their project. There's all kinds of reasons as to why they don't reach back. Or maybe it's just simply because I'm in Minnesota and they're in another state. They're not going to fly me out to wherever they're at. Even if I offered to fly myself out there, they probably feel that I would probably benefit more from finding somebody in my own state to help me figure myself out. So that's how I found this therapist in Minneapolis, okay? Anyway, and there's a couple other ones just like him, and I'm going to reach out to one more. All right, so anyway, we're going to put that on the shelf for now. When I was at my therapy with this gentleman, we talked for about, it was a 3-hour session, but we talked for an hour and a half. I was trying to fill him in on some of the things that was happening with me, was trying to rationalize why these things were happening to me, and needed his help to get some answers. So when we started the therapy and everything, you know, I was not laying on the couch. I could have, I suppose, if I wanted to. But we did have a discussion just briefly about the ghostly activity he was having in his own house. Very brief, but I did have a brief encounter with something that was in that room. That room didn't feel to me to be without some kind of apparition. And of course, I had something was burning my legs. I don't know. I've never really had that feeling before, but both my legs were tingling, but they were kind of tingling in a burning way. And at the point that I acknowledged that I realized that somebody else was in the room with us, I just thanked them for being there, and then they just got off my legs and I was better and fine. But when I started the therapy session, it was kind of odd because I actually couldn't breathe at first. Now, this is not a typical thing, I imagine, but I did read when I was exploring this and trying to research this, you know, with other people's experiences, that actually did come up. So I was kind of like going, okay, so there is something to the choking feeling aspect. That went away as soon as the therapy started going underway. The whole idea behind doing a regression is that, especially a past life, is that if you can get in a deep enough meditative state, you'll be able to start seeing either visual scenes or intuitively feeling something or sensing something without being able to see something. Okay. And in my case, I had, and I mentioned this in part one, I started out with seeing this very flat fort-like wall right in front of me. It was, don't ask me where it came from. I have no idea. It popped into my head. That's what popped into my head. And I saw myself standing outside this fort wall. And if I described it to him as being a castle, but it could have been, but I'm not sure. It could have been one of three things. It could have been a castle wall. It could have been a prison wall. Or it could have been like a fort, you know, military type fort wall. So there I have three options already being presented to me. One of the things you cannot do, which I did and other people try to do, is try to analyze what I might actually be seeing or try to rationalize why I'm seeing it. And there's many things you can tag to it. For an example, one of the things that I thought about when the session was over was that I felt kind of like different, like an outsider. So, you know, being excluded, that was something I kind of felt. And I thought, well, thank you for, you know, putting that right in my face. I didn't really need to have any of that going on. But again, that might not have been it at all. But this is where our mind starts to try to interpret or decide why we're seeing the things that we're doing. Okay. So as he was trying to bring me into this, I saw myself wearing a robe with a rope around my waist. I did see my feet, which, you know, he's trying to put you into a time frame here. And I did see myself with open-toed sandals. I saw my color of skin being tannish brown. I felt I was male. And then he brought me to another scene, and I saw myself sitting inside a small stone-like unit that was connected to other units. And I saw myself sitting at the head of a table, and this woman was serving me food, and I assumed she was my wife. She was younger, and she had this, I don't know what you call it, not a head, I don't know what you call it, but like a scarf-like thing around her head that draped down, kind of like with Joseph and Mary. Hate to say it, but that's what it looked like to me. And then over to my right, as I was sitting down, there was standing a young boy, and he looked to be about 13 years old. And that's all I saw in that moment. And then, of course, he asked me what the food was like, and I just said it was very plain. You know, it wasn't anything that was, you know, made really interestingly or whatever. He asked me what the reaction was of this woman towards me, and I just said, she looked at me just, you know, not with any judgment or not with any, like, being afraid or anything like that. Just very neutral, like a typical family day. Then I went again to another scene where I actually saw myself standing where it appeared I was working on something, and with my hands, and it was like a physical type of job. But over to my left-hand side, I saw this fire, and it kind of shot up, okay? And I saw kind of a stone, roundish, stone-like receptacle kind of thing where this fire was shooting up. So I naturally assumed I was working with some kind of metal or something that involved the use of fire. And then I saw just a blippet of oxen, and I just assumed that I was making something like the yoke or something for the oxen or whatever. And then he moved me to another situation where it was like my death, where I saw myself lying down on something that was kind of like a bed, obviously. Didn't have too many people around me, and I felt that I died of old age. The other thing I saw, a couple other things flashed in, and if you know what flashes are like, sometimes you get a flash. That's your intuition flashing. And I saw roses. I have no idea what that meant because, you know, you can put all these pieces together or make something out of it, but I don't know. And the other thing I saw in the very beginning when he said, what kind of land am I standing on? I saw this grass, dirt, sand-like mixture color together. It was kind of like a low grass and all that kind of thing. Okay, now I'm going to beat this up for you. So I had mentioned in part one that a day later or so I created these genealogy picture books for my family members. And they came, finally. It took a long time, but they came. And so I was just glancing through the quality and to look at one of the books. And then all of a sudden I ran across a picture that I took in Norway a couple years ago when I was there, standing on the very land where my great-great-great-grandfather's were born. One, at least, was born on that land. I was able to go all the way back to that. That was very surreal, by the way, to go back to your quote-unquote possible place of, you know, where a relative was actually born. It's very humbling and, you know, emotional. But anyway, I looked at the grass on one of the pictures, and I said, that's what I saw. that grass. Okay, so now my head is shifting from, okay, maybe what I was seeing was something from a Norway connection of going back to my generations, something like that. I talked about that just barely or briefly in part number one in the final segment, you know, going into the end, that I saw this and I started to interpret that maybe I was seeing a past life of myself living on that property or something like that. Although I did tell the therapist that I felt I lived in some kind of village. Okay, now let's beat this up again. So last night, and remember, if some of you are following my segment here, I went to this conference over the summer on remote viewing, and I was able to accurately see these flashes that came to me and create these images that I felt I was psychically sensing with very great accuracy, amazing myself. So last night, after I was done taping my first show, I went to watch a little TV. And I flipped it to one of these alien station channels. You know, I always like to see what they're theorizing and, you know, which angle they're trying to go at this time. And to my surprise, if any of you have listened to part one from minute 40 going forward, and towards the end of that, you're going to hear me say, well, it's kind of odd, I said, because when I described myself, I kind of looked like someone in the Ten Commandments. You know, Moses or Aaron, his brother, and wearing this robe and wearing this rope, and da 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 da. So I'm sitting down with my husband. It's very late at night, flipping onto this channel, and the alien station's on, and I'm just kind of fizzing out watching it. And lo and behold, here comes another one of their theories. And what do you think the theory was? It was describing the point of the Ten Commandments with Moses and yada, yada, yada about Moses, and it like it happened in my mind. Everything I saw them sketch out, show, illustrate was exactly what I saw in my images while I was in the therapist's chair. Could be a therapy chair as far as I'm concerned. And I said to my husband, oh my God, there's the robe, there's the rope, there's the how I saw myself look, there's the hair, there's the beard, and guess what was on the left-hand side? There's a fire shooting up in the air from a flat or a kind of a semi-round receptacle. And then they showed a man laying flat down on something that looked like what I saw myself lying down on. It wasn't him. It was Ramsey's firstborn son. But there he is, laying down, dying. And I said to my husband, what I went through wasn't a past life regression. I said what I went through was a remote viewing session, because it wasn't about my past in the end. What it was about things that I was going to see in my future. So in the future, I saw the grass and the dirt, right? I saw it in the book. That was that day or the day later. There it was. Okay, 2 days later, here comes the whole Moses scene, exactly as I described. The only elements that I haven't seen yet are the roses and also the fort, the flat-walled fort-looking type building or structure. Those are the only two elements that haven't come to me yet. So I'm sitting here going, well, Valentine's Day is, you know, coming up in February, but that's not going to count anymore because if my husband gives me roses, I told him already, nope, no roses for Valentine's Day. We're crossing that one off the list there. I said, I'm not going to have that come to me and then be the other element, in what I was seeing. Now, it's very, very possible, but that those roses could represent what my husband usually gives me for Valentine's Day. But not this year, because I'm starting to cross these things off. Now, then that would lead us or bring us back to the fort and the flat wall perspective. And usually what happens is when we go somewhere and you're not paying much attention to anything, all of a sudden it'll probably crop up. So that is to be determined in the future, but everything else was checked off the list, literally, based on the fact that what I went through was not a past life regression. What I went through was a remote viewing situation. Okay, I need to take a break because now I've just got done analyzing everything that I went through with this gentleman. He hypnotized me to 50%, that 50% equaled the problem that I'm having is these flashes and seeing things and then coming to me in my future. But in this case, it was in the future. It was not in the past. That's why I need to probably go to somebody else to attempt this one more time. And then at that point, you know, hang it up regarding any past life success. It just all depends. Not only that, it just all depends. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when I come back, we're going to start hearing about what the therapists have to say and what other people have gone through. And I think you're going to find this to be very valuable and engaging. Stay tuned.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
Okay, let's get started then. What I'd like to first bring to you is the idea of reincarnation. Some of us believe reincarnation occurs. Some of us do not believe that. There's been thousands of cases where people have proclaimed that they had the soul of somebody else inside of them. And not only that, but they look just like the people that had these souls in a past life. They don't even have to be related to the family in any way. And again, some people may have died and have had up to 1 to 3 lives in their lifetime. Others may not have had any lives in their lifetime. So to do a past life regression, one never really knows truthfully if you're like a first time soul or if you've had 1 or 2 or 3 other souls that have gone before you. One of the things that's really important when you do a past life regression is that you're with a therapist that you feel you can trust and let your guard completely down. If you're the type of person who likes to be in control or you're overly analytical, such as myself, you're going to have a hard time letting some of these things down. I've been hypnotized before. This was not the same type of experience for me. I did see flashes and I did see pictures as I described to you before, but the thing is that this was remote viewing for me. It wasn't anything past life. That bums me out, but you can't necessarily ask for a refund because basically, in a nutshell, you can't prove 100% what you've seen, but I can because I just got done seeing it in the last 2 days. So it didn't work on me, and I'm going to try somebody else. Not that this therapist that I went to is bad. He has been very successful with many people that probably have the right conditions for him, and they mesh really well. In my particular case, I don't know. It's no different than me talking with a psychic. If I get a psychic that I feel I connected with really, really super well, it's going to be magical right then and there. If I feel like something's not happening here, we're not connecting. Okay, let's start out with some of the things that past life regression therapists have talked about. The first person I'm going to bring up is an actual therapist, and he's trying to explain a couple things here regarding why some people have experiences and others do not. And so when people report to him that they felt that they were not hypnotized, the one thing that, of course, I felt when I went through this session was that I was so alert that I could have just opened up my eyes at any time, sat up, and walked out of the room. That probably would have been a very, very bad thing to do. But the whole idea is when a person feels like they're hypnotized, you should feel probably at least semi-trancy or tired or maybe a little bit on the not dizzy is not what I'm looking for the word, but just slightly muddy in the mind, okay? And the thing is that when you feel like you're really alert, then it's hard to decipher whether or not you're truly under or not. Because you didn't see anything doesn't mean that something wasn't going on. He agrees, too, that sometimes people just experience one or two still images, and then they lock in on those images, kind of like if you're looking at a door, and you're just staring at this door, and nothing else happens, and the door is just sitting there idle. In my case, I had a couple scenes, but I was forcing those scenes based on the direction he was giving me with the questions that he was asking, so I have no idea what those scenes meant. I know what they mean now. It was a remote viewing situation, so the stuff that I was seeing obviously popped up in the last day or so. Let's see here. I want to talk about some of us may have only have one lifetime. So this might be your own soul's lifetime, and you might not have a past lifetime. Now, let's go back to genetic memory just for a moment here. Remember, I was talking about how when we're given certain genetic code that we might be better at doing some things than others, et cetera, et cetera. And the friend of mine whose mother was a Holocaust survivor, and how she actually recognizes in herself some of the trauma that her mother went through while she was in this Holocaust situation. So it is very possible that you could remember or genetically remember some relative's memory from way back in the day, but it just depends on what's being awakened, okay? I want to read this off to you from somebody who is a founder and director of doing this. Okay, so he says he's going to answer a few questions here as to why a life regression, past life regression might not work on someone. Number one, your intent was not strong enough and you did not ask the right questions. Usually when you start a session, the therapist will ask you, what do you want to know? What do you want to find out? Stuff like that. And that's very possible. I mean, I was trying to find out where my abilities were coming from and not necessarily delving into family-related matters or who I was in the past or anything like that. So perhaps I didn't ask the right question. The other thing is did he ask the right questions? You know? My intent was fairly strong, but then remember I was interrupted by this apparition that was sitting in that room with us and putting its, you know, little paws all over my legs. And then after that finally subsided, I couldn't really trust my atmosphere. And I said to the therapist just before I went kind of under, I said, I just hope I'm not speaking with somebody else's voice. Now, keep in mind that when this Kelly Thiebel was with him and she went under, and she must have been a really good candidate, she did speak with somebody else's voice. So it is possible that that can happen. Another thing, is it possible you were not ready to see the truth due to either fear or judgment of self? No, that wasn't really it at all. I was just kind of curious as to how far something like this could bring me back and see other situations. Number three, sometimes if the memory of the past has been extremely painful, the person won't regress, or if they regress, they can only go to a certain point. Well, that's very true. It is not the, if the therapist is not responsible in trying to gear patients or clients into happier times rather than these traumatic times, that can cause a lot of damage. And in fact, I do agree, and I stand behind this. When I was done with my session, I actually felt very depressed and I started crying. But I was analyzing things that I was seeing in my mind, couldn't figure out why I was seeing things in my mind and if they had any kind of association with anything. Like, for example, the wall, the concrete wall. Well, there are many times when I feel kind of like a lone duck in this world, and I feel excluded, and I feel like, you know, I'm always standing outside the wall while everyone else is included in everything else. So maybe some of you can relate to that. But when you see images like that, while you're doing a therapy session like this, your other side of your brain, your logic brain, is going to start interpreting this stuff. And as soon as I started doing that, the therapist stopped me and would not allow me to continue to interpret and told me to just stick to what the question was, basically. But that was part of the reason why I started crying. I felt like, my God, is this the message that was supposed to come to me? So maybe that might resonate with some of you, what I'm saying, but you've got to be in the right place of mind to do something like this. And I went in fairly neutral, but I did come out feeling more depressed. I did feel like I didn't want to really talk to anybody. People that know me know that happened because I told them I just didn't have time to talk to anyone at that point. And I also started analyzing the whole situation. And then my logic side jumped in and I started saying, let's take control of this and figure it out. Okay. And I don't think that going through a painful past memory is something valuable, but that's what happens with some of these past memories. You might actually have had a very bad experience. Judgment of self, you might decide that part of you just decided it couldn't go any further. I agree. Let's see. Sometimes due to very rigid belief systems, people won't regress. They would rather disbelieve what they've experienced rather than what they had seen. No, I believed what I saw. But the thing is, it wasn't a past life regression. It turned out being a remote viewing situation of seeing what I was going to see in the future. This is what my whole issue is with myself. I'm trying to figure that out as to what is opening up or expanding in my mind and why, and what's giving me this capability. Probably something that why he wants me to go to an astrologer, the psychic medium, and to talk to this Kelly Thiebel, who channels with these UFO alien higher sources. Good. If all three of them can give me more wisdom of this whole situation, by the time I'm done trying to stomp on it to death, maybe I would probably feel better about myself. It talks here about you weren't comfortable and maybe in the space that you're in or didn't feel safe. Yes, yes, and yes. I had one apparition to have to deal with. I was worried the thing was going to take possession of me. I've been taken possession of before. And then I'm with this gentleman I've never seen before. He was a very nice therapist. All kudos to him, seriously. But I just didn't trust this whole experience enough to be able to let go. And then when I did, I only went halfway, and halfway was remote viewing. And let's see, what's the other one? Trying to get to the root cause of things. I don't think this was the right thing for me to do to figure that out, to be honest. But I would like to try another therapist, and I would like to see if I might be able to go deeper next time with trust. Some people can experience, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome from going through something like this by reliving the trauma. That, again, is not a good thing. So you have to ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? What's the purpose of why I'm doing this? I've always been interested in it. I've been in trances before without the help of any therapist around me. But the whole idea is that things happen when I go to a very deep meditative state of being, and that's not always controlled. Let me go to, and again, it says here again, you might have only had 1 to 3 souls in your life. You might be a one-time soul. That's very true. Let's see here. It talks about dangers. If the therapist isn't really good at what they're doing, it's not to make the person feel bad. It's supposed to make the person feel more alert to some of these things. Let's see. Here's one here on from a psychotherapist who's done many of these. It says there's a number of dangers that a person could experience in a case like this if the therapist isn't trained enough. The first one is a false memory, which can be easily implanted by an unqualified therapist or one with personal issues of their own. Projections on the part of the therapist, where they project their own beliefs and issues on the client during the session. That didn't happen with this therapist. They're just basic questions, kind of like fact-finding, figuring it out. So no problem there. Reliving a traumatic experience or situation, which could be potentially dangerous if they are not trained enough to help you deal with them or get you kind of out of them once you start going through them. Preparing the client for tools necessary for safety, embarking in the regression, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of the tools he had to use on me was to tell me not to analyze while the session was going on, because that's what I was doing. And then that can bring you down into a deeper state of being. Sometimes this article says people can come with a spiritual awakening by going through this, but then they can also have, if they have episodes of hallucinations or confusion or feelings of attachment or possession by negative entities, most psychotherapists will not work with these individuals. You know, I had asked this therapist, has he ever worked with someone where somebody came out and they were basically, you know, attached to this person? And he said, well, no, not really. But he said in that case, he would refer them to, you know, the psychic medium or this astrologer to help clear that negative energy from them. Also, a person who might be valuable in a case like that would be like what is called a Reiki master. And I've been to a Reiki master. They don't even touch you. They have, for some reason, some remarkable gift with this energy field that they go under. But you feel a lot better going to one. They don't touch you. They go through your whole body and they basically pull out all the yuck that's kind of in your body. And sometimes it takes a couple sessions, but it works, and it worked on me. That's why I'm kind of disappointed in my results here on this one. Let's see here. The Regression Research and Therapy Association reports that about 70% of clients felt improvement after they had this session, 27% no change, and 3% felt worse after a session. I agree. I was more depressed. I came out of that, but I'm also very analytical. And again, you need to have an experienced hypnotherapist or guided practitioner and able to not make the situation worse. You know, some people do report going through one or more lives, and they have very interesting stories that they tell. Is that their imagination? Are they hallucinating? Are they seeing a remote viewing situation that they're going to watch on TV 2 days later? You know, the mind is a very magical but yet very curious instrument within our body. I don't think anyone can ever really determine or figure out how a brain works to this level and capacity. It's very, very interesting. So on that note, let's see if there's anything else I need to throw at you really quickly here before we're going. I want to throw one more thing at you here. Presumably, a significant proportion of us have no past lives, and that there are, you know, a handful that may. I'm going to bring up again the possibility that reincarnation is very possible and likely. How that's done or why that happens, we don't know. I'm going to bring up genetic memory again regarding our DNA and whether or not what we're experiencing is memories are from our grandparents or great-grandparents. But then again, if we're not experiencing that or seeing that, then what exactly is the plausible explanation for our subconscious processing? All right, there you have it. So I want you just to think about this for a moment and think about what I went through and then ask yourself, is this right for you? It's fascinating. I think that there's just a wealth of information we'll never know, but we're trying to all. Many of us are trying to uncover. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series, and please stay tuned for more segments, hopefully of interest in the future. Thank you and good night.